Ramsey TV.
Did I tell anyone yesterday on my show entitled Live and Die Unto the Lord? Did I tell anybody to sin? No. And I challenge anyone to find anywhere at any time that I ever told anyone to sin. No. I never have. I never did. I never will. But the sin issue comes up again in some really good comments, interesting comments on yesterday's show. And since this is so important, I am going to read the public comments, and I'm going to comment upon the comments, because that is one of the things I do. Welcome to MZTV. I am Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, holding court from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. I want to read the comments and comment because this is going to help everybody. Now, I'm not criticizing these commenters. In fact, I'm thankful for them. Someone calling themselves Lounsbury Homeschool said this. And I'm not, again, I'm thankful for this comment because it reflects the concerns of many, I think. Maybe not many in this audience, but it needs to be addressed. It needs to be clarified. This is a very satirical, sarcastic comment. I appreciate satire and sarcasm as well. Lounsbury Homeschool, and I don't know who this is, says this. If anyone sins, no worries. Just sin unto the Lord. Whatever you are doing, as long as you do it unto the Lord, it's a form of worship. Huh? That was a great comment and a great question at the end. Huh? I've said that many times myself. All right. There are five replies. One of them is mine, and I'm going to read the replies. They're all public, so I'm free to read these. But before I do, there's a comment by Christopher McKnight. Now, let me say this. I am thankful that these people are watching the show. So thank you. Lounsbury Homeschool, Christopher McKnight, other people who commented on this sin question, Jody Burns in particular, Carolee Van Dyke. I am thankful that you folks are watching this show. Thank you for tuning in every day. I'm assuming you're tuning in every day. And I love you for it, and please keep watching because I appreciate you. I want you on this channel, and your concerns and your questions are good, and they need to be addressed. But listen to what Christopher McKnight says, and I salute you, Christopher McKnight. I quit drinking, smoking, looking at porn, and eating pork unto the Lord. And my response was, good. I love it. Christopher McKnight responds to his own comment and says, and I feel better, and those around me appreciate it. Then Christopher McKnight says, but I know that I'm not saved by works. It took God many years of me asking and asking, and one day I just stopped. Really strange how God works. Amen, brother. It's strange how God works. I must say this. Based on the comment, I quit drinking, smoking, looking at porn, and eating pork unto the Lord. I remind you of my comment, which was one word, followed by an exclamation point, which I rarely use. I don't like exclamation points, but it's a concession. I said, great. Drinking is not a sin. Smoking is not a sin. Looking at porn is not a sin. Eating pork is not a sin. None of these things are sin. But Christopher McKnight felt in his spirit, in his soul, I don't know which, that he should quit all those things. Great. He quit them unto the Lord. Paul talks about people eating meat in Romans 14, meat sacrificed to idols. Their conscience was seared over it, and so they decided that they wouldn't do it. That's great. Don't do it. Paul says, refuse to eat meat then as unto the Lord. But if you eat meat sacrificed to idols, it's no big deal because an idol is nothing. This is a particular qualm of the person who refuses to eat meat. Paul says, if you have this qualm, if you're worried about it, then just don't do it. If you're worried about looking at porn, if you're worried about smoking or drinking, by the way, I'm drinking tonight. This is Zacapa rum. It's very good. Aged for 23 years in an oak barrel, I'm assuming. I drink this unto the Lord. Drinking is not a sin. When I smoke a cigarette sometimes while I'm doing a show, it's not a sin. I do it as unto the Lord. Everybody knows eating pork is not a sin, but for some reason, Christopher McKnight feels better not doing these things. That's terrific. I salute you, Christopher McKnight. Now, I don't know Christopher McKnight, but I don't think there's any way he would condemn any one of us for eating bacon or ham or smoking cigarettes. I don't think he would condemn me for drinking rum. Maybe he would, but I don't think he would. This is a personal thing for him. And so he quit these things unto the Lord. That's great. Another person might start these things unto the Lord. That's what I did. I started smoking 3 years ago, 4 or 5 cigarettes a day. And I did it as unto the Lord because it was fun. It felt a little rebellious and I enjoy it. So I ain't got time to die. And it's a part of my fitness routine. Yeah, because it quells my appetite. It's perfect. What I want is to be slim and trim with the very little time left I have in this life. And I don't have time to die. Cigarettes, nicotine is famous for making people not hungry. So it's perfect for me. And I do it as unto the Lord. And this stuff here relaxes me a little bit. So that's how it works. Okay, now let's comment on Lounsbury Homeschool. If anyone sins, no worries. Just sin unto the Lord. I didn't say to sin unto the Lord. I don't recommend that anybody sin. Neither does Paul. In 1 Corinthians 15:34, Paul says, sober up justly and do not be sinning. And again, I am on record as having never recommended sin. I follow Paul. Paul says don't sin, so I say don't sin. But what's a sin? Ha ha! There's the question. What's a sin? To the person who thinks something is a sin, it is a sin. If you don't think it's a sin, it's not a sin. Of course, this is accepting those things, E-X-C-E-P-T-I-N-G, those things that actually are sins. Gluttony, a drunkard, blasphemy, reviling, all the things Paul mentions that are sins. Those are sins. Stealing another man's wife, that's a sin. Looking at a beautiful woman or reading a salacious novel, it's not a sin. Nowhere in Scripture is it a sin. So, you know, you need to ask yourself, what's a sin? And again, some people think that going to a movie is a sin. I mean, going to a movie, period. The Baptists think that dancing is a sin. So, you know, some sins, quote, unquote, are completely subjective. Other sins that are stated in the Scriptures are objective, and these things I've always told you to avoid. I try to avoid them. Do I sometimes sin? I suppose so. Am I free from sin? Yes. And I'm going to get into that topic as we go on in these comments. So to Lounsbury Homeschool, I would say that your statement, if anyone sins, no worries. I would never say that. And I didn't say that. You're assuming I would say that. But I would not. Just sin unto the Lord. Sin unto the Lord? I would never say that. Paul never says that. Paul does say, whatever you may do, do it unto the Lord. But he doesn't mean sin. It's a form of worship, huh? Well, drinking this is a form of worship. Because God made this stuff, this rum. It's distilled sugar cane, but there's no sugar in it. All the sugar has been distilled out of it. Interestingly enough, Jody Burns comments next. She says, sin absolutely has no power. Amen. That is true. Even if you do sin, it has no power over you. You're justified. Everything you do is right with God, even though we don't want to do wrong things. We don't want to do sins. But if you do sin, it's justified and has no power to take you out of the body of Christ, to condemn you, no condemnation anymore whatsoever for those in Christ. Good job, Jody Burns. Religions will yell and scream, she continues, religions will yell and scream how awfully wicked sin is when there's no strength in it. Well, I will disagree with one thing there, which is sin is awfully wicked. But she's right, and there's no strength in it. Unless you give it strength. Lounsbury Homeschool wasn't having it. Lounsbury Homeschool responded to Jody Burns. Explain addiction then. So shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound? Romans 6:2, Paul replies with a resounding God forbid. I agree with that. Just because grace covers all sins, and it does, should we sin so that, and Paul says grace, where sin exceeds, grace superabounds. That's Romans 5 at the end there, 5:21. 2021. That's a fact. Where sin increases, grace superabounds. Sin is like water under a ship. And as the water rises, does it overcome the ship? No, the ship rises with the water. It can't touch it. Sin can't touch us. But it's even more than that. When the water rises, water being in my analogy here, the sin, the ship turns into an airplane. That's how crazy grace superabounds over sin. It outdoes it every time. But just because that is true, since that is true, Paul counters with the logical question, okay, then should we sin more so that we can get more grace? That would seem to be logical. Paul says, no. It might be logical, but it's stupid. It is logical. All is lawful for me, but not all is expedient, Paul also says. So it's not expedient to sin. It's not expedient to steal your neighbor's wife. It's not expedient to blaspheme and to be a glutton and to be a drunkard. I'm not a drunkard, for God's sake. I just drink a little alcohol now and then. We're going to get more into the alcohol issue later from Lounsbury Homeschool. And again, I'm not criticizing you, Lounsbury. Well, I am criticizing you, but I appreciate your comment, and I hope to help you with my comments here. So I'm going to go back and comment on every aspect of this. Explain addiction then, Lounsbury Homeschool says. Well, I'll just comment on that now. Apparently, addiction is a disease. I mean, I have an addiction to sugar. So, I don't know. Is it a disease? I don't know. Explain it. Sugar's good. Sugar tastes great. That's how I explain it. What about addiction then? I don't know. What about it? If addiction is a sin, then grace covers it. Paul says, don't be addicted to much wine. I was going to say in this show, I was just thinking about the show outside. I was thinking about what I'm going to say on this show. And I'm thinking that, okay, getting drunk is a sin. But then I thought, is getting drunk a sin? Paul says being a drunkard is a sin. That is continuously being somebody who continuously gets drunk. But so by that, I tend to think that alcoholism might not be a disease. I don't know. I'm not saying anything definitively on that. I just know that drinking alcohol is not a sin. Let me just say that. So we should not continue in sin so that grace may abound, my dear Lounsbury Homeschool. Paul replies with a resounding God forbid. Indeed he does. I continue the quote. Through the power of the cross, we are freed from sin. That's right. But then Lounsbury Homeschool makes a faulty conclusion upon that statement. If we continue to do it and try to justify it, then we are not truly accepting Christ's rescue from sin. All right, I need to adjust your thinking on this, Lounsbury Homeschool, because that is not true. You are right to say, through the power of the cross, we are freed from sin. You should have stopped there. But you say this afterwards, if we continue to do it, that is, if we continue to sin and try to justify it, we don't have to try and justify it. It's already justified. I don't try to justify any sin. God has justified it. We are justified. That is pronounced not guilty. All sin is justified. And yet the ironic, strange statement is, if we continue to do it, that is sin, and try to justify it, then we are not truly accepting Christ's rescue from sin. No, if we justify it, we are accepting Christ's rescue from sin. Maybe what Lounsbury Homeschool means is that if we think we should continue in sin so that grace should abound, that's wrong. And I would agree if that's the sentiment here. So it's not to be justified in the sense that one is doing it, and that's the context here, Romans 6:2. One is doing it to see if grace can increase, just like to dare God. I'm going to dare you, God, to make grace increase. Of course, that's wrong. No one should do that. And besides, the freedom from sin, which Lounsbury Homeschool mentions here, through the power of the cross, we are freed from sin. That freedom from sin, as I have said many times, is not a matter of not doing the sin. It's a matter of being freed from the sin after you do it. This is a manifested thing, a sin that is done. You've done the sin. And now, having done the sin, the realization that you are free from sin is the thing that keeps you from condemning yourself and keeps you from allowing Satan to condemn you. That's true freedom from sin. Freedom from sin has nothing to do with either doing it again or not doing it again. In Lounsbury Homeschool, you seem to be saying here that it's all about doing the sin. Well, what if you do the sin? Freedom from sin has nothing to do with doing the sin. Freedom from sin has to do with a manifested sin being put on the cross. A manifested sin, something you do, being put on the cross and saying to Christ, thank you for dying for that. It no longer condemns me. And then you go on from it and you don't let it dig into your spirit, into your soul, or into your flesh. I continue. True, we will continue to sin unwillingly. Emphasis here, as a Christian, even until we are perfected in the day of the Lord. But to relish in it and just say, I'll keep doing, insert your own weakness here, unto the Lord is a sign that we are choosing that addiction / sin / weakness over the Lord. That may be true. That may be true. But she seems to be saying, I assume it's a she, I'm sorry, it's Lounsbury Homeschool. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. True, we will continue to sin unwillingly, that's the emphasis, unwillingly. As a Christian, I'm not a Christian, even until we are perfected. Okay, but Lounsbury Homeschool, what if we sin willingly? Don't we also continue to sin willingly? Don't we also sometimes say, I know this is a sin, but I'm going to do it anyway? Man, those are the sins that Christ died for, the ones you do willingly. I know this is a sin, but I'm going to do it. Thank you, God, for rescuing me from sin. And then you do it, let's say. See, I don't recommend that. Never have, never will. Never have, never will. But if you do sin even willingly, See, here's that his little escape hatch. Well, we all sin unwillingly. Please. We also sin willingly. And sometimes we say we are going to keep doing it. But I would not recommend doing that unto the Lord. I would just say, well, this is a tough issue. This is a tough issue. You could do it as unto the Lord. You could do it recognizing that everything God does in your life has a purpose and a meaning. And if you're caught in it, in a sin, not something that other people think is a sin, but an actual sin, like I can't stop stealing other men's wives. I can't stop committing adultery. That's a sin. That's a sin. That's a sin. I don't recommend doing that as unto the Lord. But on another level, on the absolute level, a person would think, this is all of God. I can't stop this. I wish I could. Maybe I'll go to therapy. Maybe you should. But I know that above it, God has justified me. And this sin, repeated willingly, is not going to separate me from the love of God. For nothing can separate us from the love of God. And all things work together for good. And I'm speaking of members of the body of Christ here. I'm not speaking to anyone else. I'm not speaking about anyone else except members of the body of Christ. It is our special understanding that we are justified. And we're also weak at the same time. Paul calls the believers in Corinth unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. At the same time, he tells the guy who's having sexual relations with his father's wife, i.e. his stepmother, stop it. Tell this guy to stop it and don't even fellowship with him until he stops it. So if I found out that anybody was habitually stealing another man's wife and another man's wife and another man's wife, I would say, stop it. You're giving the message a bad name. Quit it. Because that's a named sin. There are named sins. Smoking is not one of them. Drinking is not one of them. Looking at porn is not one of them. Stealing another man's wife is one of them. It's a crime of stealing, not a crime of sex. I'll keep doing whatever the thing is, unto the Lord is a sign that we are choosing that addiction, sin, or weakness over the Lord. Not necessarily. No, you're not choosing it over the Lord because the Lord is above all. You might be choosing to do it, and I would never recommend it, and I would try to talk you out of it. But it doesn't mean that that person is choosing the sin over the Lord. The person still has a Lord. The person might be the person who's addicted to sin, some kind of stated sin, scriptural sin, might be mourning the fact, absolutely mourning. I just can't stop murdering people, Martin. I can't stop murdering people. Is that bad? Yes, it's horrible. It's horrible. Stop it. Would a believer do these things? I would hope not. I would hope there are no believers who are serial killers. I would hope not. Somebody might make one mistake. Someone might commit a crime of passion and regret it horribly. That person is still in the body of Christ. The person regrets it. It was a terrible day. Something really bad happened. Yeah, that sucks. Can we automatically say that that person is choosing that over the Lord? You cannot say that. Oh, then some guy named Martin Zender responds here and says, hello, no, I am not saying that we should sin, but humans consider many, many more things to be sin than God considers to be sin. The things we are not to do are clearly stated. I noticed you used the word justified in your answer. The truth remains that all of our sins are justified. Still, I never recommend anyone to sin. In fact, I tell people not to sin. I hope this clears things up. Now, Carol Lee Van Dyke weighs in. And this is also instructive. And thank you, Carol Lee, for your contribution to this discussion. I appreciate it, and I appreciate that you watch this show. Carolee quotes Philippians 4:8. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is grave, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is agreeable, whatever is renowned, if there is any virtue, and if any applause, be taking these into account. Amen. Goes on to quote Paul. Verse 9 of Philippians 4. What you learned also and accepted and hear and perceived in me, these be putting into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That is a quote from the Concordant Literal New Testament. Thank God for you, Carolee, quoting from an excellent translation. But then she quotes it from The Message, which I use sometimes. In The First Idiot in Heaven, I quoted The Message when it does not disagree with the literal Greek. The Message says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Oh, that last part really sucks. I liked it up until, do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Now, God has already worked you into his most excellent harmonies because he chose you before the disruption of the world, before sin even entered the universe. And then Carolee comments here, seems to be an exhortation from Paul to be doing these sorts of things as unto the Lord, not exactly just anything we may feel like doing. And again, it comes down to what a person believes to be sin, not counting the stated sins. As I went back and said concerning Baptists, they think that dancing is sin, going to movies is a sin. Okay. When I said do anything you feel like doing, I'm assuming, I guess I shouldn't assume, that everybody realizes I'm not talking about sins. I'm talking about that gray area. Oh, the blessed, wonderful, beautiful gray area where God doesn't tell you what to do and he doesn't tell you what not to do. This is a beautiful gray area. I love it. People say, oh, you're just trying to take advantage of the gray area. Damn right. I'm trying to take advantage of the gray area. Yeah, I am. God doesn't say, thou shalt not drink Zacapa rum. Doesn't say that. He doesn't tell me which food to buy at the grocery store. A lot of things God doesn't tell me to do, and a lot of things he doesn't tell me what not to do. It's a gray area. That's where faith comes in. I have faith to drink this crap. Tastes like crap. But I just like the effects. I have faith to do it. Because it's a gray area. It's a gray area. Don't take advantage of the gray areas. No. Take effing advantage of the gray areas. That's where faith comes in. Because by doing that, it shows me that you have faith. You have faith. Because God doesn't strictly prohibit it. Going back to the sex topic, everybody loves it or hates it. God doesn't say, thou shalt not masturbate. He doesn't say to masturbate either. So if you do it, it's like, man, it's a gray area. Hey, it's a gray area for a reason. That's where faith comes in. And if you have the faith for it, then you do it. Or if you have the faith to eat bacon, if you have the faith to smoke, you do it. If you don't, then you don't do it. Simple as that. Do it as unto the Lord. This Paul saying things like, do it as unto the Lord, he's talking about gray areas. He's talking about areas that God doesn't say to do it. He doesn't say not to do it. That's when you do what you feel like doing. You do what you feel like doing. It's the Spirit of God moving in you. I can only say do what you feel like doing with the assumption that the Spirit of God is making his home in you. I wouldn't say this to a worldly person. This is a discussion within the ranks. This is a discussion for the body of Christ. And with that, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar takes a sip of rum. Or, as some would say, distilled sugarcane. That was a good comment, actually, Carolee. Now, Lounsbury Homeschool, not to be outdone, responds to Carolee Van Dyke. What a drama. She says this, of course, I can't imagine Paul shooting whiskey or watching porn. Ho, ho, wait a minute. Stop right there. You can't imagine Paul shooting whiskey? Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Lounsbury Homeschool. And I love you. I don't know who you are, but I love you. Whether you're man or woman, I love you. Why wouldn't Paul shoot whiskey? Would you doubt that Paul drank wine? Did Paul drink wine? Of course. Wine makes the heart of man glad. Is wine pure? But is whiskey evil? Is rum evil because it's distilled? Are fermented beverages pure and holy, while distilled beverages are the elixir of Satan? Why wouldn't Paul shoot a whiskey? I'm not saying Paul would get drunk. I can perfectly picture him shooting a whiskey. I love to think of him shooting a whiskey and smoking a cigarette. But now this. I can't imagine, excuse me, I can't imagine Paul shooting whiskey or watching porn. I can imagine both things. Let me explain. Now, pornography, by definition, is, doesn't that sound better? Pornography sounds better than porn. It's a Christian thing against all things that give pleasure. Porn. Satan, as I've said before, has completely enmeshed Christianity in the wrong battle. Satan has Christians fighting porn, while at the same time putting the doctrine of eternal torment through them. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Christianity calls naked women evil, but they call eternal torment good. So while they're condemning porn, they're putting out the greatest evil ever conceived by anyone, which is a God who would eternally torment people for not loving him in return. That's sicko. Porn, by definition, is words or images designed to excite the sexual senses. Don't you think that there were some beautiful statues in Corinth of naked women? Look at the Venus de Milo, naked woman. I'm not saying that it was that the Venus de Milo was sculpted to incite sexual feelings, but I'm not saying it wasn't. Paul couldn't watch porn because there wasn't any internet, there wasn't any movies back then. But was he ever, did he ever have his sexual senses excited by a naked woman or a naked statue? I've lusted after mannequins, okay? I've seen mannequins in the storefront dressed seductively, and I'm like lusting after the mannequin. Yeah, that's porn. Excited the sexual senses. What did I do about it? Nothing. I just said, whoo, that's nice, and I moved on. Is that a sin? No. Oh, and I dialed up for you. No, I'm going to bring this up later. This is good, though. I'm going to bring this up later. Hang on a second. I'm going to end with something fantastic. You're going to love it. It has to do with a photo I have on my phone. Okay. I don't imagine Paul shooting whiskey or watching porn. Well, I can imagine him doing both things. There's much to say in Scripture about seeking after good things and avoiding things that are ultimately, that ultimately bring oneself to ruin. People assume that if you take one hit of marijuana, next thing you're going to be a crack addict in the street. It's the assumption of religious people to think that if you take one little bite of some forbidden apple, that the next thing you know, you're going to go to the extreme. This is ridiculous. This is the James Dobson theory. That if you look at a woman and are attracted to her, next thing you know, you're going to be dismembering women in your basement after raping them. That's the Dobson theory. That's the Dobson doctrine, James Dobson. It's inevitable. These are religious people who hate things that make other people happy because misery loves company. They put themselves in straitjackets. They themselves don't understand for freedom Christ frees you. And so they hate it when they see other people enjoying life, enjoying the things God gave to be enjoyed in this life. God gave us all things richly to enjoy. So while the Bible says Lounsbury homeschool, doesn't describe in detail every sin out there. Wait a minute! Lounsbury homeschool. I have to comment on this. So while the Bible doesn't describe in detail every sin out there, yes, it does. The Bible does describe every sin out there. I'll continue. Can we at least examine the fruits? So by saying that the Bible doesn't describe every sin out there, I'm afraid that Lounsbury homeschool is falling into the classic trap of Christianity and actually the Pharisees, who, where there are not sins mentioned in the Bible, surely there must be more. So while the Bible doesn't describe in detail every sin out there, we will finish what God left undone and we will complete the list of sins. We will elaborate on the list of sins. This is exactly, precisely what the Pharisees did. The law of Moses wasn't enough. The 613 laws of Moses wasn't enough. And so they added sins, added prohibitions. And they strangled people with added prohibitions that came from their own wicked imaginations. Examine the fruits. Okay, examine the fruits. You want to examine the fruits? Let's do it. Some people say that drinking is a sin. Many people say drinking is a sin. I'm drinking. Look at my fruits. I put my life out to you. I put my fruit out to you. Someone convict me of having bad fruit. Someone who knows me my whole life, anyone who knows me, anything about me, look at my fruit. It's unbelievable. Martin admitted on yesterday's show that he watches porn. And even on this show, he's drinking rum. And on some shows, he actually smokes a cigarette. His fruit must be awful. Is it? I'm not going to list the fruit that I have. I'm not going to list love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, self-control. I'm not going to tout my own attributes. I invite other people to do that because people who know me can do that. Is this activity bearing good fruit or bad fruit? Well, if it truly is sin, it might, probably will, bear bad fruit. To finish the show, I want to go back to Carol E. Van Dyke's statement, quoting Philippians 4:8. It's a good quote. Summing it all up, friends, I'm quoting from The Message now, Philippians 4:8. I got to find this photo I found. Hang on. Oh, there it is. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that. And God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. I told you how much I hated that last part.
Martin saying that, why do you have to be so dramatic? Why do you have to say you hate it?
Because I hate it. Let's go to the concordant version of that statement. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, grave, just, pure, agreeable, renowned, if there's any virtue, if any applause, take these things into account. Does that mean that you can't look at a dead body? There are people in this world who do autopsies. They go into dead bodies and they probe into them. Is a dead body pure, agreeable, renowned, just, grave, true? It's ugly. It's a terrible thing, but that's their job. Some people maybe, I don't know anybody like this, but some people might like to look at dog poop just to see what it's made of. I'm going to take a toothpick and poke the dog poop. See what's in there. I'm interested in it. I'm a dog poopologist. Okay, is that pure? No. Is it agreeable? No. Is it renowned? No. But when Paul says if there's any virtue, any applause, be taking these into account, he's not saying at the exclusion of everything else. I might examine dog poop, but at the same time, I am taking into account whatever things are true and grave and pure and just and agreeable and renowned. It's not dog poop. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and his glories and the accomplishments of God in Christ, and I take those things into account. But on the side, I like to examine dog poop, see what's in it. Just because someone likes to look at pictures of beautiful women, or someone likes to smoke, or someone likes to play video games all freaking day, they do it under the Lord. It doesn't mean, I mean, yeah, some video games, I can't understand it myself, but that's just me. They're violent, blood splattering all over the place. I don't get it. I hate it. But it doesn't mean that these people aren't taking into account things that are true, that are grave, that are just. Paul doesn't say exclusively take this into account, because you have to take other things into account in life all the time. You have to do your taxes. If we're going to take this verse as saying exclusively take into account what is true, grave, just, pure, agreeable, renowned, you will never do your taxes. You would never, nobody would ever perform an autopsy. Nobody would ever stop to crane their neck at an accident on I-95. So I have a picture of a woman in a bikini contest. Here we go. You ready for this? I was tempted to say, get your children out of the room. But I'm not going to say that, because this is pure and beautiful and holy, and I just love it. And there it is. There's a picture of a woman in a bikini contest. There she is. All right. Now, as I show you this picture, you see the search term bikini contest. That's my search term. Okay. Is this true? Yes. Is it grave? I think it is. Is it just? I think it is. Is it pure? Absolutely pure. God made that body. Is it agreeable? Oh, yeah. I agree with it completely. Is it renowned? Yes. Is there any virtue in it? Hell yeah. It's the human, female human body. And if any applause, I guarantee that the people watching this bikini contest were applauding like crazy. There you go. Oh, what happened to my phone? Crap. It slept too soon. One more shot. There we go. Okay, so it's all a matter of what you think is unclean, what you think is not pure, what you think is ugly. Oh, yeah. The Message Bible, let me show this again and relate it to the Message. I want kids. This is nothing wrong with this. There it is. Okay, now let's take the verse from the Message. I'm saying, friends, you'll do the best by meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, and gracious. This is compelling. Okay? To me, this is compelling. The best, not the worst. This is the best. This might be the winner. This might be the winner. It's not the worst. It's probably the best. The beautiful, not the ugly. Thank you, the Message, because this is beautiful, not ugly. What else? Things to praise, yes. Not things to curse, no. I think I made my point. I think I made my point. And I'll end with a comment from someone who calls himself Forest for the Trees. He's commenting on my air conditioning part. He says, because I said it was something that started with S, the part of my air conditioner that broke. And he says, solenoid? To which I responded, I think it was a capacitor.